Hi, I'm Leah, and today on this story-walking adventure, I'd like you to step into a new role for a few minutes, an eco-detective. We're going to walk back in time, follow some quiet clues, and see how a river can tell us its own story. So first, take a breath with me. Inhale and exhale slowly. Close your eyes and imagine a brisk day. The sky is clear blue. Breathe in through your nose. The air is cool and clean, with a faint scent of pine. Now breathe out through your mouth and let your shoulders relax. This is how every good investigation starts, with clear eyes and a calm mind. Now, picture yourself standing near a woods-lined road in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. In your hand is an old envelope someone just gave you. Inside is a map of the Greenwich Bleachery, a textile mill founded in 1840 along the Maskirchug River. The map shows 14 buildings, a dam, and a waterfall. Along with the map is a yellowed newspaper clipping dated February 22, 1965. The headline reads, "Down Comes Old Bleachery." You start reading. The article explains that demolition of the Greenwich Bleachery has begun, and a $1 million shopping center is supposed to be built on the site. The story mentions the area resting between two hills that will need to be graded. It also mentions that part of the dam behind the plant was mysteriously opened, causing minor flooding around the grounds. You glance back at the map and see the dam and waterfall drawn in the corner. The clues are piling up. With a bit more detective work, you figure out that the mill once stood at the corner of Post Road and Cedar Avenue, across from the middle school. But when you actually look at the land today, there is no shopping center. It's all woods. The buildings are gone, the noise is gone, but the river is still there, and the land holds the memory. So you go to check it out. You enter the area from St. Patrick's Cemetery, walking quietly between the headstones along the edge of the woods, looking for a way in. One word pops into your head: hunt. An eco-detective is always on the hunt for evidence. You glance to your side and notice a headstone with the name Hunt carved into it. Just beyond that stone, at the edge of the trees, you spot a land trust insignia attached to a trunk. It marks a trailhead. That's your way in. The trail drops steeply downhill. As you walk, you notice a piece of fabric dangling from a low branch. It's printed with black and white peace symbols, hanging loosely like a soft, quiet river of cloth. The moment you stop to look, you begin to hear something else: the steady rush of falling water. You follow the sound down the hill and across a flat stretch until you reach the top of a dam. Water from a large pond spills over the edge, creating a curtain of white movement. You pick your way down a steep embankment to the bottom and stand in front of a wide waterfall. The roar is powerful, but the way it fills the space feels strangely peaceful. You pull out the old map and look again. There it is, the wide waterfall drawn in the upper right-hand corner. On paper, you see the mill buildings that used to stand below the dam and along the riverbank. In your mind, you layer that image onto the present moment. Where you now see trees and rocks and water, there were once stone walls, brick chimneys, machines, and workers using bleaches and dyes to color fine wool fabric. Those same chemicals were dumped straight into the river, flowing downstream. Local children used to go shellfishing at the cove where the river meets the salt water. They would find strangely colored shellfish and rinse them off, never realizing those bright stains were the dyes from the mill. At that time, there were no laws protecting the river from industrial waste. The damage was happening in plain sight. You walk further downstream and notice a spot where the trail passes what looks like the foundation of an old bridge crossing. The map confirms that a covered bridge once stood there. The ground grows boggy, and the main path turns upward along a natural staircase of tree roots. As you climb, a flash of bright orange catches your eye. A candy wrapper lodged in the roots with the word Gonzo printed in big letters. You can't help but smile and think, yes, the old bleachery is Gonzo. In smaller letters, the wrapper reads, Charms Blow Pops. And you think about how the buildings were blown apart and carried away, piece by piece, until only the land and water remained. Following the trail around the bog, you reach a point where it ends, and you can look across to the other side of the river. There, you see a stone wall running along the bank, a leftover from the days when people forced the river into a straight channel to serve the factory. You walk back upstream, eyes scanning the bank like a seasoned eco-detective. Near the old bridge footing, you notice a rusty pipe and a stain of orange-brown metal on the ground below it. Your map, your clues, and your imagination connect. This river once carried not just water, but chemicals, dyes, and waste. When you return to the waterfall, the wind shifts. A light breeze blows the spray into the air, and for a brief 2 seconds, a rainbow appears. Now you see it, now you don't. Right where the stone sidewall of the dam forms the faint outline of a face in the shadows. You walk closer to the wall to get a better look and discover a colorful package lying at your feet. The words "Hoptical Illusion" leap out at you. You think about the rainbow you just saw, the peace symbol fabric, the Gonzo wrapper, the stone wall, the dam, the rust, the map, and the missing buildings. Some clues are natural. Some are human. Some are trash. Some are history. But altogether, they tell one long story. The bleachery is gone. The laws are different now. Nature has been reclaiming this place, slowly turning an industrial site back into woods, trail, water, and quiet. Take another deep breath in through your nose. Let it out through your mouth. Feel how the river scene settles inside you, aware, peaceful, but awake to what happened here. Now, let's bring this back to your own world. In many towns, there are small decals on storm drains and sewer grates, little signs that say things like, drains to river, or no dumping. When you're out walking, notice them. Street litter doesn't just vanish. Rain washes it into those grates, into streams and rivers, and eventually into the ocean. A simple way to help is to pick up loose trash before it ever reaches the water, especially lightweight items like plastic, foam, and wrappers. If you'd like to explore this theme further, you can listen to the Storywalking Radio Hour episode, Following the Flow to Clean Up Our Waters, where Storywalker Wendy interviews environmentalist Bonnie Combs about restoring the historic Blackstone River. You'll hear how communities are working to heal rivers that once carried heavy loads of pollution.
And if you're a student or teacher interested in going deeper, there are simple water testing kits that let you become a real-world eco-detective. You can test the clarity, temperature, dissolved oxygen, and pH of tap water, pond water, river water, even storm water. Some organizations will even loan kits to classrooms so students can collect data and share what they discover. Eco-detectives, pay attention. To maps, to clues, to history, to what's flowing right now beneath the surface. Wherever you are, the next time you pass a stream, a pond, or even a storm drain, remember the Maskerchug River and the Greenwich Bleachery. Remember that the stories we write on the land and in the water don't disappear. They just wait for someone curious enough to read them. And if you'd like more walks like this one, with stories, questions, and activities you can try yourself, you'll find them with Storywalker Wendy at storywalking.com.